In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, February 1st, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Last week at the Sundance Film Festival, four abortion providers received a standing ovation after the premiere of Trapped, a pro-abortion documentary. The four abortion providers were featured in the documentary directed by Dawn Porter, which covered five abortion mills in the South fighting regulations that would shut them down. The World View spoke to Jay Watts, vice president of Life Training Institute, about the documentary.
So with abortion, they've been afraid to tackle it for years, but there's a real sense right now that abortion rights, in their view, the access to abortion, is under a real threat by current laws. And so they're pushing back. And finally, abortion is coming up more in movies. And in the last couple of years, you're seeing it front and center as they attempt to shift the culture to a more pro-abortion stance than it naturally has.
May the Lord bring to repentance those who murder the unborn and even celebrate it on the big screen. The prophet Jeremiah describes them well. But you have eyes and heart only for your dishonest gain, for shedding innocent blood, and for practicing oppression and violence. Jeremiah 22:17. From the big screen to airline screens, Lila Rose, president of the Live Action Pro-Life Group, reported on social media that she was censured from her group's website during a recent United Airlines flight. United Airlines said it was a mistake and would be fixed, but Planned Parenthood still took the opportunity to praise United Airlines for blocking a pro-life website on the in-flight entertainment panel. An Egypt Air mechanic whose cousin joined the Islamic State in Syria is suspected of having planted a bomb on a Russian passenger plane that crashed last October, according to Reuters. The plane took off from Sharm el-Sheikh Airport in Egypt, but was blown out of the sky over the Sinai Peninsula. Thus far, Egypt has publicly denied the plane was brought down by terrorism. Punjab, the largest province of Pakistan, recently passed the prohibition of child labor at brick kilns ordinance. According to Punjab's Labor Department, they have over 6,000 brick kilns employing nearly 24,000 children under the age of 14. With terrible conditions and no facilities, the work is dangerous and inhumane. The government has enforced fines roughly equivalent to $70,000 and 6 months imprisonment for those who disregard the new ordinance, according to Christian Headlines. There is also hope for the children of Baja, Mexico. This month, 250 Christians attended the grand opening of Puerta Hermosa, Beautiful Gate Orphanage, which serves as a home for the abandoned and extremely ill special needs children of Baja. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James 1:27. Unlike Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr., Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, said in no uncertain terms, Donald Trump will not be invited to speak at his institution, reported the Christian Post. Piper stated, Donald Trump simply does not represent Oklahoma Wesleyan University's behavioral, theological, moral, or political ideals. Trump's absence during Thursday's Republican debate was quite the elephant not in the room, as Megyn Kelly put it. Candidates did not have trouble pointing in the right direction, though. Marco Rubio said there is only one savior, and it's not himself. It's Jesus Christ, who came down to earth and died for our sins. Faith may have been big at the Republican debate, but how are the American people? USA Today published a new national survey of 18 to 31-year-olds about cohabitation before marriage. 76% said it's fine. According to Christian Headlines, 65% of young couples live together before marriage, and some of them also identify as Christians. Elmer Melchi, a former World War II paratrooper, was reunited with his wife June after requesting to spend their last days together in the same nursing home. Initially, the Veterans Administration denied the request because the nursing home was not VA-sanctioned, but later gave permission. The couple was reunited for a short time before they died. NASA has released new images of the dwarf planet Ceres. It is located between Mars and Jupiter and was first discovered in 1801. The new images capture all kinds of fascinating craters up to 160 miles in diameter. Bright spots can be seen on the surface, which scientists think may be related to a kind of salt. Ceres also boasts a mountain 4 miles tall and 12 miles in diameter. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Psalm 19:1. And that's the world view on this Monday, February 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack also in studio with us today as we take on the major issues of the day and engage the worldview war, oftentimes outnumbered by the bad guys, and have been, well, basically all of our lives.
I think it's throughout history.
I think so, yeah. It's been some 6,000 years.
Yeah.
But David DeLeiden's an excellent example of what it is to take on the big giants. And I understand something of what it takes to take on the giants in the Valley of Elim. I was student body president of a major West Coast university for a period of time, heavily outnumbered, while I was taking on some policy issues that were very challenging and had very little support from any Christian on campus. A couple of Christians off campus would back me up, but very, very hard to find anybody who's going to stand for righteousness and to take the stand when you are in the minority. And this is the sort of thing that you find all the time. It seems to me that the David Goliath scenario is not unusual. It comes up again and again and again. And David DeLeiden is no exception to that rule. He seems like he's losing in the courts over and over again. The grand jury in Harris County, Texas, as many of you know already, have expressed their disinterest in dismembered babies and the commercialization of baby parts and kidneys. But boy, they are hot to trot to indict David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt, the pro-lifers who produced the controversial videos that shook the conscience of the nation over the last year or so. And you've got to give David DeLeiden and crew some kudos for what they did, Bill. They shook the conscience of a nation. I'm glad they did it. Now, granted, they were up against $500 million of funding and the law. The law is not on the side of pro-lifers. It's on the side of those who kill babies. And so it was hard for these folks to stand up against this tremendous force that was dead to rights to kill as many babies as possible. Planned Parenthood is the leading abortion provider in the country. And they are funded by $500 million of our tax dollars.
Do you realize that we've outdone Hitler?
During
World War II, over 55 million people died as a result of Hitler's worldview.
Mm-hmm.
But since 1972, I think it's now at 56 plus million unborn children have been sacrificed on the altar of convenience and evolution in this nation alone.
And that
we've outdone Hitler.
And that does not include the chemical abortions.
No.
Now, it is true that the abortion rate has decreased somewhat thanks to the pro-lifers and the hard work that they've put into this over the last 40 years. But chemical abortions are up.
Right.
So there's more and more abortifacient use across this country. And it's not as easy to identify where people are using chemicals to destroy the lives of those little ones and the wounds of their mothers.
We should not be surprised when they go after DeLeiden, those who pull the curtains back and expose the wizards for what they really are in our culture. And these are the wizards of death, protected by immoral, ungodly laws that seek to destroy children. And so we shouldn't be surprised when instead of going after the perpetrators of the crime, they go after the whistleblowers. And
sure,
that's typical. It's Phariseeism. Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, your disciples don't wash their hands.
Yeah.
You know? So they gag at a gnat and they swallow a camel.
Which ought we to do, kill or heal on the Sabbath day?
Yes.
And of course, the Pharisees were out to kill because that was the legal thing.
Yeah.
They were playing by the law, their law, not God's law.
Yeah.
Certainly didn't understand the heart of God. and Jesus pointed their hypocrisy out to them. Well, David Dalyden, certainly a David versus Goliath scenario, my friends. $500 million behind Planned Parenthood. Of course they're going to file a massive lawsuit against David Dalyden and the Center for Medical Progress for instigating a quote-unquote complex criminal enterprise. Of course they're going to take something of their $500 million or some derivative of it that is provided by tax dollars and set it up against David Dalyden and his $120,000. You know, he pulled together $120,000 from 20 donors and took on Planned Parenthood, this gigantic government-subsidized billion-dollar mega corporation that has really led the fight towards more abortion in this country over many, many years. But, well, $500 million versus $120,000 is a factor of 5,000, folks. That's pretty significant. That is, if David is 1 foot tall, this Goliath is 5,000 feet tall. Now, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Gideon, you know. God paired Gideon's army down to 300. And what were the opposition?
Something like 60, 80,000. Yeah, no, 150,000.
Yeah.
150,000. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, friends, this is
something like that. So that's a $5,000 or 5,000 difference, isn't it?
Something like that. Well, yeah. Anyway, my friends, it looks to me like David Dalyden's having a hard time in the courts. And the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals issued an emergency order blocking Utah Republican Governor Gary Herbert's administration from continuing funding to the state's Planned Parenthood health care facilities. Same thing happened in Alabama, Arkansas, and Louisiana. The courts are pretty much under the hand of the liberals, thanks to the universities and the law schools across this country that have been liberalized since the latter part of the 19th century. But David Dalyden does not have the law of the land on his side. He does not have government funding on his side. All David Dalyden has is God on his side. We'll see how this works out. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, also Bill Jack in studio with me. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. David Dalyden in deep water. Why? Because he took on Goliath in the Valley of Elah. And, you know, I feel bad for him in some respects. He's going to be a wanted man, a hunted man for the rest of his life, possibly.
Much like other pro-life activists such as Randy Alcorn.
Yeah.
And men like him who back, 20, 30 years ago took a stand. And so Dalyden, I'm sure, is going through a valley right now, but he needs to be encouraged, and Christians need to be encouraged that when somebody like this takes a stand and the opposition tries to put a lid on it, they try to suppress it, they try to put it in a corner, that God uses their efforts to shine a spotlight on this. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying that that is the case, that this is not going to go away, that Dalyden will be in the spotlight, and we need to pray that he is held up and that people come alongside him and hold his hands up like Moses. Okay,
Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? Meaning that we ought to be willing at any point to risk our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor, for the sake of Jesus. You know, people want to do that for the sake of a country, but there's something even more important than that, is that is for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust that David Dalyden is doing it for that purpose. To stand for the cause of righteousness is very difficult, but Jesus said, blessed are you if men persecute you for righteousness' sake, for great is your reward in heaven.
He said they did that to the prophets. Now, what do they do to the prophets? They killed them. At least they're not killing David Dalyden yet.
Yeah, and the things that you're probably going to suffer for in this day and age is standing for righteousness in the area of life and sexuality. Homosexuality and abortion, of course, being the key sins of the day. So if you're going to stand up against any of those sins in any appreciable way, you're probably going to be persecuted for it. And I can tell you that's been something of my legacy over the years as well. But, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to...
And you know what? People should be encouraged, because the state attorney's office in Texas is continuing its investigation into Planned Parenthood's actions, despite this decision to indict Dalyden. And so they're going forward, because there are magistrates in positions of authority who understand what the real issue is, and they're not going to be dissuaded. We need to pray for them as well.
Well, my friends, for the remainder of the program, I want to contrast two of the leading candidates for president of the United States right now, because this is very interesting, especially as we take a look at their faith, their religious persuasion. And recently, we've seen something of that from both candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And I'd like to contrast this just for a moment and point out that it's ultimately faith. It's the pastors, it's the churches, it's the seminaries, it's the denominational colleges that are the influencers, rather than the politicians, because these people, these politicians, just effectively live up to the teachings they've received. And so here's an example: presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. She has testified to her Christian faith recently. She said, according to Time.com, I'm a Christian, I'm a Methodist. My study of the Bible and my many conversations with people of faith has led me to believe that the most important commandment is to love the Lord with all your might, to love your neighbor as yourself. That is what I think we are commanded by Christ to do.
Well, she's got it right.
She does, somewhat.
She's given
somewhat.
Lip service.
She does. But as you pursue it a little bit more, you'll find that she doesn't really maintain a biblical faith. Donald Trump, on the other hand, apparently doesn't really want God's forgiveness. Now, we've made that point before on the program. Back last July, he couldn't think of a sin he would ask God forgiveness for. And most recently, Fox News' Bill O'Reilly suggested that he forgive Megyn Kelly, drop the grudge, participate in the debate that just happened last week. He reverted to biblical law. That's actually given to the civil magistrate, not to the individual. So he got his fears mixed up and said, well, it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So
and then,
I ain't
then O'Reilly
her.
Said, oh, that's the Old Testament. You can't go to the Old Testament. Yeah. So suddenly O'Reilly is a theologian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't turn out to be a very good one either.
No, he didn't. Yeah.
You know, the issue is, of course, you know, the individual has no right to put somebody to death for murder, for example. That's the real issue there. The individual, as an individual, has a responsibility to forgive one another, and something that Donald Trump doesn't want to do. Well, anyway, the point I want to make on this edition of the program is that he's a disciple of Norman Vincent Peale. And Norman Vincent Peale told Phil Donahue, it's not necessary to be born again. You have your way to God. I have mine. I found eternal peace in a Shinto shrine. I've been to Shinto shrines and God is everywhere. Christ is one of the ways. God is everywhere. Norman Vincent Peale talks about believing in yourself, have faith in your own abilities. Quote, it is of practical value to learn to like yourself. Since you must spend so much time with yourself, you might as well get some satisfaction out of the relationship. And I will tell you that Donald Trump has followed through on that one.
Oh, he's done a great job.
There's great nobody job. Who's yeah. been a better disciple yeah. of Norman Vincent Peale than Donald Trump. Think about it. Just follow him. There's nobody that believes in himself.
Yeah.
There's nobody who will stand for himself who has learned to like himself more than Donald Trump. In fact, he likes himself so much, he can't think of a time in which he sinned, and he needs God's forgiveness.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton, she calls herself a Methodist, and she's a disciple of the liberal Methodists. The liberal Methodists, the United Methodists, are members of the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, and you know what that means.
Yep. Pro-abortion.
That's right. Here's the quote from their website. Our belief in the sanctity of unborn human life makes us reluctant to approve abortion. But.
But.
How'd you guess? Okay. Did you know I was going to say but?
You know, because these are, I'm a Christian, but, okay?
Yeah.
I'm a Christian, but. You know what? They're exactly right. They're the tail end of Christianity.
Mm.
Yeah.
But we are equally bound to respect the sacredness of the life and key word here, well-being of the mother.
Yes.
So well-being pretty much opens up abortion too. Well,
my well-being depends upon me being without the responsibility of my actions
well-being,
and a child.
Yeah, can be interpreted any which way but loose. And real loose.
Yeah.
And real loose. Also on homosexuality, the United Methodists say we are committed to supporting rights and liberties for all persons, regardless of sexual orientation. As far as socialism is concerned, they believe in socialist health care all the way. Providing the care needed to maintain health, prevent disease, and restore health after injury or illness is a responsibility each person owes others and government owes to all.
Hey, wait. Did you just hear that? Did you hear that? You know what that was?
What was that?
That was John Wesley rolling over in his grave.
That was Karl Marx leaping out of his grave and saying, amen.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
Amen one more time.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton is very much on board with all of this. She's on board with the United Methodists. She's very true to the United Methodists. Point I want to make is that these people are following their mentors. They've been taught well in their churches. Hillary Clinton has been taught well by the United Methodists, and she understands that she must stand for abortion because that's what the United Methodists do. She must stand for feminism. She must stand for homosexuality because that's what the United Methodists have taught. So you see how important church is. The battle for the truth really happens at the pulpit on a Sunday morning. And
theology is the queen of all sciences. Theology is the foundation upon which everything else is built. I was raised Methodist, but it was not what I was in college before I realized that Methodists were liberals because my church wasn't. I mean, my dad and other men in the church when I was a little boy called in the bishop and just railed against the Sunday school curriculum that said perhaps Moses thought he saw a burning bush.
Yeah.
That was the beginning. And I remember my dad and other men in the church taking a strong stand.
The liberalization of the United Methodists has been a slow, steady, and painful process over a period of 100 years. My mother broke free from the Methodist Church back in the 1950s, and I'm thankful for that. She was attending a very liberal church, never heard the gospel there. Well, another problem with Hillary Clinton's perspective, of course, because she has borrowed from the United Methodists, is she is antinomian, and that word antinomian means she's against law. 1 John 5:3 tells us this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments.
Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Yeah. Now, the very definition of the love of God
is
keeping the commandments of God, and his commandments are not burdensome. She separates law from love. If you love your neighbor, she says it's important to love your neighbor. Now, what we would say is absolutely. And here's one way you can love your neighbor. Don't kill him.
Yeah. Tell him the truth.
Yeah. And don't kill him.
Yeah.
Don't kill your... You know, you take a woman who's got a baby in her womb. Would you say that's a neighbor? That's a close neighbor.
Yeah.
That's real close.
Very close. Can't get much closer.
Now, one way that that mom can love her neighbor is by not killing her neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a point at which the United Methodists and Hillary Clinton will take a hard left. Why? Because they really believe in loving their neighbor as themselves, but they wind up with killing their neighbor because they don't define the love of neighbor by the keeping of the laws of God. And it's a lot like the Rudyard Kipling poem, who started by loving our neighbor and ended by loving his wife. Do you remember that line?
Yeah.
In other words, we wind up reinterpreting the word love by committing adultery. And of course, homosexuals love their friends, and cannibals love their victims. They taste good.
You know, it's they often quote Romans 13:8, owe nothing to any man except to love one another. And they stop there.
Yeah.
Okay. We just need to love people. Just need to love people. Goes on to say, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And four of the Ten Commandments are quoted there. What is love? It's not a gushy, mushy feeling. It is an act of the will, which is based on a standard, and the standard is the Ten Commandments.
Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are both following the footsteps of their religious mentors. That's why the church, that's why pastors, that's why what's preached on a Sunday morning, very, very important, my friends. And what's common, I think, with the Methodists and with Norman Vincent Peale is this. This is what's common from my research that I've done online concerning the Methodists and Norman Vincent Peale, and that is this. The Methodists teach that man is basically good, and therefore they recommend a gospel of good works. And Norman Vincent Peale effectively teaches the same thing.
Yep.
Okay? That's the commonality between Hillary Clinton and her competition, Donald Trump, over on the Republican side of things. Now, what does the Christian gospel teach? The Christian gospel teaches that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. No man seeks after God. They have all gone astray. This is what we read in Romans 3. This is what we read throughout Scripture. Man is depraved. He's sinful. He's lost. He's dead in trespasses and sins. Now, sin, of course, must be defined as the breaking of the law of God. If it's not taught that way in the churches, if it's not taught as a problem in our lives, a fundamental problem in our lives, if the law of God is not mentioned, then typically people are not convicted of their sins, and usually they're given the impression that they're, quote-unquote, good enough for heaven. Well, sin is man's problem, and man needs God's salvation. Man can't save himself. Man needs to be saved by God, by God's grace, and the way we're saved is by faith. We cannot be justified by our works. We can't stand right before God by our own works. We're justified by faith alone. That is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're accepted by God. That's how we stand rightly before God, and we receive the righteousness of Christ, and that righteousness is received by faith alone.
I learned that as a child in that Methodist church. They taught that that Methodist church.
Some of them do.
And that church, unfortunately, has gone liberal as well.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because they still are supportive of me and my ministry, but because they've been assigned pastors that come from the liberal wing, they're killing that church. And they do it purposely. It is not that Methodism taught what you're seeing today.
Oh.
It has declined because they've left their first love.
Yeah.
And that is the gospel.
It's God's grace that gives us our faith. It's God's grace that enables us to mortify our sins. And here's one more thing. Repentance is essential. I've talked about faith, but repentance is essential as well. Repentance, as we've said before, is a fundamental change of mind concerning our own state, concerning the law of God, concerning the righteousness of God, and concerning God's salvation in Jesus Christ.
Who Jesus is.
Yeah, yeah. It's a change of mind in terms of our need for Jesus, because it's a change of mind concerning our own sinfulness. And once we realize that we are sinful people, we are hell-deserving sinners, once that dawns on us, then we run to Christ for salvation. It drives us to Jesus Christ in faith. And friends, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, we're able to will and to do of his good pleasure, love God, and keep his commandments.
It's amazing grace. It's grace that taught my heart to fear. And I learned that in that Methodist church. I got saved in that Methodist church. Praise God.
Friends, preaching matters. Teaching matters.
The doctrine matters.
Worldviews matter. Worldview is just another word for doctrine.
Yep.
It's just more fun to say it sometimes.
It just rolls off the tongue a lot easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
Worldview Academy.
The truth of God's word is so very, very important to remember that we're in such need of salvation. We're in desperate need of God's salvation. We are overcome by our sins by nature. And there's no way that we can save ourselves but by the grace of God. So run to Jesus, embrace Jesus, see the need of Jesus, his atonement on that cross, his salvation that was freely given to us, and receive that salvation in Jesus' name by faith. Folks, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, the presidential candidates, at least the high-level presidential candidates, are getting it wrong. Does that make a difference when it comes to their policies? Well, yes, it will make a difference when it comes to their policies. They'll expect more out of government. Why? Because they don't understand proper anthropology. They don't understand that man's basic problem is sin. And they don't understand that man's salvation is not by government. It is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my friends, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ reviewed one more time, at least using the examples of these presidential candidates and their stories. You can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.